Hey, let me just share just a little bit of housekeeping here. Just some things to reiterate. I don't want to overstate some things that maybe you've heard a lot of already. But just to let you know, today at 5 o'clock, this is not a called meeting for the church. But just to let you know that the elders and myself are going to be meeting together with some of our own church family medical community of physicians and our own representative from our church of the Angelina County's and City's Health District, and with the Director of Public Safety, Gerald Williamson, from the City of Lufkin. And we're just going to be talking about, you know, recommendations from them about us moving forward as a church. And following that meeting, the elders and pastors and I will announce our plans as a church family moving forward with regards to Sundays and Wednesday gatherings and how we will respond as a church family to this coronavirus. Our city has plans in the event that we have cases of the virus in Lufkin. And here on the Hill, and I think you already know that, we want to be part of a solution and not part of the problem. And so the need moving forward, as you've already seen and heard on ad infinitum, is mitigation. I mean, it's here in our country, and so we just want to mitigate its progress. And so if the coronavirus comes to our community, we want to reduce the spread of infections so that we don't overwhelm our own healthcare system, that they just get worn out just trying to handle all these wild cases that are coming in that are just so widespread. We want to drive down the potential mortality rate for our senior community. We have a good-sized senior community, not only in our church family, but all around us. And we have those in our church family who have compromised health issues with regards to their heart or their lungs, or maybe they're in cancer treatment with a weakened immune system. And so what do we do? Well, I mean, one of the things, of course, you guys, I know you already know, and you're practicing a lot of it here this morning, is social distancing. We've talked about, you know, just elbow bumps and that kind of thing, and no shaking hands, no hugging today. And I've just loved just seeing people refrain themselves. And they start and they back up. We get into that for this period of time. And, you know, we remember this is like the influenza, if it's not just like the same thing. The coronavirus severity is going to be different from person to person. Symptoms appear, as you already heard, 2 to 14 days after exposure. And right now, it's like fever, cough, and shortness of breath. We have had some of our own young people to just return home after a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, which is not a hot zone at all. If they have anything, it's more like one case that is there, is what we have heard about. But these kids coming in, we have asked them to self-quarantine for a period of time. Pastor Todd is leading out in that example, and he will work from home for the next 2 weeks. Just for safety's sake. And so you avoid close contact with people who are sick. You learn to refrain from touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth to protect from infecting yourself. And if you are sick, you stay where? Home. That's right. Stay home. And when you sneeze or you cough, cover it. Don't, you know, share it with everybody else in close proximity. Clean and disinfect surfaces that are used a lot, especially when you've been outside. And here's the thing that I just want to say. If you're not sick, you don't use a mask. The masks are for those who are sick so that they don't spread it to everybody else. And it's also for our healthcare professionals, especially these guys that are going out in the units to help people that are sick or to pick them up. And they need to be told if you are sick and think that you've got a virus so that they can protect themselves. So let's leave that for those who really need it. Wash your hands at least, you know, 20 seconds with good old soap and water. And you don't have to have antibacterial soap. just good old soap and water and 20 seconds to get your hands clean is just fine. And here's the thing, just one last thing. I want us to be not part of the problem. And so I just want to encourage us, let's don't hoard, right? Don't hoard. We've had some of our own people who work at Walmart, and they're just like, they're just worn out. The shelves cleaning out, and it's like, we've been attacked from outer space, and they're stealing our toilet paper. What? you're just like, seriously, chill, people, hello. And it creates shortages and stress on our community who are trying to provide for us. And so the deal is, let's work as a family here. We want to ratchet down the panic and let's live like we're a community, that we're not just a bunch of individuals seeking to survive and just let everybody else go somewhere else, right? We want to think about other people. And so I just want to encourage us in that. Now, moving forward, you can go to our website for information as it comes to us. We will be putting it out on that. Realize we cannot answer all the questions. We are not that kind of national resource. If we know something, we will try to share it online. All right, in the time I have left, let me just say some calming words that God has given us in Scripture for you and I as His kids. So I want you to look, if you will, this morning right quickly at James chapter 4, verse 13. And James writes and he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and we're going to engage in business and make a profit." And then he says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." And then Psalm 23, right? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All right, here's the thing. What I want to talk to you about for just a moment, if you get out your life point outline, is assurance in uncertain days. And these are my thoughts regarding that. A universal source of stress in life is the fear of the future, right? Fearing the unknown. Not knowing what's coming. I want you to look at the first truth in your outline. Many never enjoy today because they keep worrying about tomorrow. And that's what can happen with the coronavirus deal. Basically, we're talking about the flu. It affects in different ways, yes. But this is not like this is the Black Death, okay? And so we just need to get some perspective here. And it has rocked our planet. I understand that. It's rocked our government. And maybe it's rocking your world and that you're fighting fear and worry. And here's the deal. People worry about tomorrow because no one knows for sure what tomorrow holds. So that's why a lot of people worry. But listen to what, when David was writing Psalm 23, he made two incredible statements about tomorrow. Number one, he said that he will not fear tomorrow, even if today or tomorrow is his last day. That's what he said in verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." So he said, even if I die tomorrow, I'm not going to be afraid. And then he said, number two, that he lives an anxiety-free life because of the presence of God. "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be afraid. The Lord's my shepherd today. He was my shepherd tomorrow, yesterday. He'll be my shepherd tomorrow." And he says, the Lord's provision is with him. He prepares a table before me. In other words, for God to do that, he's got to be with you. So God is here with us in everything that you and I are facing and that we're going through. So those are two things that David says that automatically can bring some comfort and some peace to my heart and also to yours. So let me focus on just a couple of things this morning and you have the message. I want to talk about, first of all, two mistakes people make and then a couple of assurances. All right, three mistakes. Number one, two mistakes to avoid. Mistake number one is planning without God. And that's just what the Lord is talking about here in James 4:13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Now, let me tell you what that is. That is a business plan with a huge failure. It is a business plan that failed in its process. Men and women make business plans every day. That's good business practice, right? You know what you're headed for. You know what you want to do. But Proverbs says again and again and again that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So what is the point here that James is making? He is not talking about the absence of a business plan. He is talking about the blatant presumption on the future without asking God for direction. That's what he's talking about. Make a business plan, but don't fail to ask for God's direction. Dreams and goals in business are a necessity, but it flies in the face of God if I don't ask the Lord for his guidance. That's what Scripture is talking about. So here's the truth. Often our greatest failure regarding tomorrow is not what we do, but what we fail to do. We forget God. And times like this that we're going through, they just remind us to keep God in our planning. I'm not worried in any way with regards to our building for the kids. Why? Because it was not something done on the fly. That's not just a business plan that we thought, well, this would be a good thing for us to do. This is something that we should do. We did that after a lot of planning and a lot of time spent before the Lord. And that goes to James's point. We can know the Lord and forget him. And so the Bible says don't do that. The next truth, to formulate a business plan and face the days of our lives without prayer is presumption. And it's practical atheism. In other words, I can be born again, but I'm acting like somebody who doesn't even know God. Why? Because I don't ask God for his direction. Lord, should I even do this? So the solution in your outline, include God in your goal setting and your daily life. And maybe that's what these days are about, is reminding some of us as his kids, number one, to not be making a lot of plans without seeking his direction. Look at verse 15 in James 4. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. And the optimum word there is if. We live in a broken world. Life is uncertain. Have you ever noticed what the two middle letters are in the word life? I-F, right? It's if. And look at your insight. Life is iffy. You probably won't find that word in the dictionary. I personally don't care. I just think that it's a good word. Life is iffy. You just don't know. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. You can make an educated guess, but planning without God is presumption. We don't know what's coming. But God does. And the truth in your outline, we face the future without fear by praying and just saying, God, what do you want me to do? Or what do you want me not to do? That's why Proverbs 16:1 says, we may make our plans, but God has the last word, right? God has the last word. And if I want to move forward, then I need to seek him. That's why every year in January, it's not just like some little cutesy Christian thing that we kind of get into here on the hill where we have 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why do we do that? We do that because we've got like 365 5 days ahead of us. We have no clue what's coming. And on January the 1st, we had no clue this is where we were going to be in the month of March. Would you agree with that? We had not a clue. Who saw this coming? Do we have influenza usually every year? Yeah. But this thing is morphing. And so it's not anything to be afraid of. It's just something to know and to understand. And so we sought God's face. Why? Because when we get in these days, we want His help and His direction and His guidance, right? Can you say amen to that? Right. That's all we want. And so this is like a correction time. All right. Mistake number two is presuming about tomorrow. James 4:14 says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that happens for a little while and then vanishes away. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." All right, so God says, let me tell you how to live out your days. He gives you two things. Number one, understand every day you realize life is uncertain. That's a reality. Even if I'm God's child, and I am, life is uncertain. I have no idea what's coming. You don't, he says in Scripture, you don't even know what your life will be like tomorrow. None of us knows but what our family will be planning our funeral before this week is over, right? This is where you say, "That's right, Pastor." Yes. Amen. Y'all just looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I don't know what. So anyway, we have no idea what's going to come, right? Life is uncertain. So here's the truth of your outline. There is no guarantee of perpetual success, health, and longevity. That's just, all I'm simply saying is that's a reality. It's not like that should shock us. The uncertainty of life does not paralyze a child of God. That is a reality, but it doesn't paralyze us. Why? Because we're not alone. I am not alone. God is with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God's promise, right? Hebrews 13:5. That the Lord said, "I will be with you." But he also says, number two, life is brief. It's uncertain and it's brief. He says, "You are just a vapor and then you vanish away." We have no idea how long we're going to be here. And so I have to realize this can be my last year on earth. And it's not like I dread it. It's simply God says, that's how you live your life. You live it with this reminder, I need God's direction in my life because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And I don't want to do anything that's going to leave my family in a situation because of my lack of seeking the face of God and stepping out and doing something I should have never done to begin with. So those are just things that God's kids think about. Lord, I want your favor on my family. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. So, Father, you know, I want to watch over my wife. I want to watch over my kids and my grandkids. And, Lord, give me wisdom in my days that I can live out these days the way you want because I want your blessing. All right? Then lastly, let me close with this. Three assurances for believers. I'm going to give them to you as quickly as I can. Number one, I want us to always remember God is guarding us. As a child of His, surely, from Psalm 23, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because we belong to Him. That is not a blanket promise for everybody on this earth. God does not guard everybody. God only guards His own. And so that's His promise to us. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord watches over all who love Him. So the truth in your outline. God is in the details of the lives of His kids. Isn't that a huge promise? You know, the Apostle Paul, you remember that he was imprisoned? In Rome, was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? Well, it was bad from the viewpoint that it made life very difficult for him. He wound up in chains, chained to a wall, and sitting for weeks and months between two Roman soldiers. Was that a bad thing or was that a good thing? Yes. It was a bad thing for Paul. It was hard. It was difficult. He was a type A personality. He was a get-her-done guy. He was always on the move. And God knew there's no way I'm going to be able to use this man to write most of the New Testament unless I stop him. And so what did God permit? God permitted him to be imprisoned, chained between two Roman guards, And during that period of time, the Apostle Paul was used by the Holy Spirit to write the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. A huge portion of the New Testament is ours because Paul was in prison. Was it hard on him? Yes. Was it good for us? Beyond all imagination. God used it. And so there are a lot of times that we go through some difficult times, and God uses it to bring good. He brings good to us out of some difficult things that we are going through. Here's God's promise in your outline. I will charge my angels to protect you wherever you go. God is guarding us. I just want to say that. I don't get into a message about angels. I could maybe sometime. But just, you know, the thing that God teaches in the Word is that His angels watch over and protect His people, God's people, from harm and from injury. They also restrain evil around us. That's 2 Kings chapter 6, and you can go read that. And they protect us in dangerous circumstances. That's Acts chapter 27. And let me just say this one thing, because it just grates on me every time, and we just need to get biblical truth out there. So often, even at funerals or whatever, or on tombstones, people will say, maybe when they bury a small child of theirs, here lies my child who is now one of God's own little angels. I know that sounds sweet, but that is so not scriptural, and it so did not happen. It is not a good thing for me to become an angel. God made man and He made angels, and angels don't become men and men don't become angels. We are two separate classes of creation, and that's Psalm chapter 8 and verse 5. So when your little son or daughter, infant child, if you lost one to death, when they went to heaven, they are still them. Do I know if they're the same age as Jesus in heaven? No, I don't. I don't have any idea. We don't know that. God chose not to share that with us. But I can tell you one thing, they're not an angel, and they never will be. And that's a good thing, because that's part of God's plan. And then number two, God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. He says, mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that just simply means, in this time that we're in, don't hold back from asking. Father, I just ask you for your mercy. I ask you to watch over and keep me. And why can I do that? Because the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I can look for that as a child of God. That's a promise of Psalm 23. And so, Father, I just ask you to bless me in these days and watch over our family and keep us. And the truth in your outline, we'll never face a day without God's goodness and His mercy if we belong to Jesus Christ. And then the next truth to that is, God's goodness takes care of the good days and His mercy takes care of the bad days. And all of this, beloved, as I get ready to close, Let's covenant together that we will not falter in our walk with the Lord during these days. Why? Because the lost world is watching. They're watching to see how we respond. When you go out in the gym or you're at work or whatever, let people see your confidence in the Lord. You take precautions, yes, but are you afraid? No. No. We are not panicking, right? Why? Because we have a God who watches over us. We have a God who watches over us. And we need to be open that we reach out to opportunities that are there to minister to people. Because there are people who don't know the Lord that they're getting scared to death. And we're the people who can speak into that. Be wise, but don't let fear close your heart to the needs of other people. And let's continue to remind each other that God is faithful to His own. And God will lead us through this by His Holy Spirit. And He is going to use just life being turned upside down for so many people. God is going to use that to break the hold of this world on a lot of people's minds and focus and get them to think about eternity. And God's going to sovereignly plan us where we can have some conversations with people and point them to Jesus Christ. And we want to be ready to do that. So let's stand together. Would you please? Our ushers are going to be at the doors as you're leaving this morning. So remember to give your tithes and your gifts to the Lord. Work will continue here on the hill. And also remember, keep up with our website. As we make decisions about future gatherings, we'll be putting it out there and let you know what we're going to be doing as we move forward and as stuff just progresses around us. Thank you so much for coming today. I just want to thank you. Don't hug anybody. Say, I'm so glad to see you. And maybe a month from now, I'll hug you. And we'll see, right? Bump those elbows, kick toes, whatever. But thank you for coming and being here. It's so good to see all of you. Let's pray for God to be with us as we walk out. Father, we do pray for your watch care over our lives as we leave this house of worship and prayer. And we pray you'll guide us in our decisions and our walk among people during this next week and the weeks ahead. Father, that we will be a voice of calmness and reason. That we will not be part of the panic, but we'll be part of the calm. God, that we do not fear the future because you're with us and you will make a way for us. And so help us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, and to bring calmness in our community and help us to walk through these days. And for that, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. God bless. You're dismissed this morning.